Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Welcome to Coffeehouse Shots for Spectators daily podcast. In his book, The Sun Also Rises, there is a phrase Ernest Hemingway used to describe going bankrupt. How did you go bankrupt? Bill is asked. Two ways, Mike says. Slowly at first, and then all at once. It's like that with Theresa May's ending. For months now, we've been saying that slowly the end is approaching. We've done a cover showing just a pair of shoes left. But is it now at the all-at-once stage? Is the ground now moving beneath her? I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. James, what was your reaction when you saw the opinion poll in the Sunday Telegraph showing that Nigel Farage's Brexit Party was ahead of the Tories not just in the European Parliament elections, but in the Westminster general elections as well?
I think it was a reminder that if the Conservative Party goes into the next election without having delivered Brexit, it will be, in the words of one minister to me a few weeks ago, into Canadian territory. And remember how the Canadian Conservatives were essentially wiped out in the 1993 election. They went from being the governing party to having two seats.
So slowly at first and then all at once.
Yeah. And I think I bumped into one Tory who's been around Westminster for decades now. And we were just talking about the Canadian experience. And the point that we were both reflecting on is the truly scary thing for the Tories about that experience is that the Canadian Conservatives changed their leader before the election. And that new leader had a honeymoon period. And even that was not enough to stop the party from being wiped out. And I think that this will be one of the things that is changing for Theresa May is this sense that the longer this goes on, the more damage is being done to the Conservative Party. And the harder it is to think that the Brexit Party is just going to do well in this protest vote European Parliament election, and then we can all forget about it. I think that is the risk that the danger for her that she is now in, is that people are beginning to worry that the crisis is becoming existential for the Tories.
And Katie, the big question for the Tories is timing. Ever since Theresa May botched the 2017 general election, people have said, well, she's toast, she'll go, but we'll choose the right time to let her go. That right time has always been defined by those who would replace her as enough time for them to build up a decent profile to get a following. They've waited a long time. That following hasn't emerged. Does it seem now as if the Tories can't really wait, or rather that their prevarication is creating an opening from Nigel Farage from which they might not recover?
I think all their plans to basically stage this, perhaps to personal advantage for after a deal, are beginning to actually disappear right now. And I have noticed in the past couple of days that there is now a sense of urgency. And Theresa May has been insistent, and Number 10, even last week, insistent that she will go only once the first stage of Brexit is complete, once she has passed her deal, when she meets with the 1922 committee again this week on Thursday. At the moment, it seems it's going to try and say, I'm not giving you my exact day I'm leaving, but I will tell you when I'm going to have another vote on my deal. But the problem is, no one really believes she can pass her deal now, and even May allies accept that really this withdrawal agreement isn't going anywhere. I think it's, speaking to Eurosceptic MPs, they actually look at the Brexit Party and it's made them more convinced not to back this deal. Mm. They think if you pass this withdrawal agreement, you're actually going to have an even bigger backlash from voters. Now, some figures disagree with that analysis, but if you look purely on the numbers, the fact that you have so many MPs who look at the Brexit Party going for no deal and feel that's what the Tory party should be doing means that I think the withdrawal agreement is looking further away than it was a month ago of passing. And I was speaking to one government figure this morning who I think you could say sits on the soft Brexit end of the spectrum, and they said right now they believe what will end up with is either a second referendum or a no deal Brexit.
Now, James, back in the days where I was supporting Remain, I believed that the EU would reform. That's why I'm a Europhile even now. And I thought, of course it's going to reform, because it has to. There is so much demand for it to change. If it doesn't change, it will destroy itself. I wonder if we're making the same mistake with the Conservative Party, thinking, of course, they're going to get rid of Theresa May and come up with a new leader, because they've got to, otherwise they're going to destroy themselves. Perhaps they're not doing it because they can't bring themselves to come up with a solution to this. I mean, for months, we could have recorded this very conversation probably 6 months ago, saying, oh, she's got to go now.
But she hasn't and she won't. And perhaps that's because the party itself is not in a psychological state where it is ready to remedy itself.
Well, the big question for the parliamentary party is essentially this. Are they prepared to risk a leader such as Boris Johnson, who is prepared to, at the very least, threaten a no-deal Brexit? Because that is what this boils down to, that if you remove Theresa May at this juncture, you are probably going to end up with one of Boris Johnson or Dominic Raab in the final two. And while they would not be actively campaigning for no deal, they would be prepared to threaten no deal if they said that the EU would not move in a kind of on the backstop and things like that. That is the question for the Conservative Parliamentary Party, which is, which of them are you prepared to do? And I think it is very telling that Jeremy Hunt, you know, the ultimate establishment candidate in this contest, he is beginning to argue to Tory MPs that whoever is the leader will need to be able to threaten no deal. And he's trying to persuade them that this is worth doing on this basis, which is, whatever you think about a no deal Brexit, surely a Corbyn government would be worse for the UK economy and for the UK's reputation among international investors than no deal. And by threatening no deal, you probably avoid it. And I think this is where the Tory party has got to get to at some point. It has got to be prepared to take a risk to get this thing over the line. I mean, I think on Katie's point, I mean, one of the ways in which Theresa May is running out of time is that once she names the date, the only way she can now bring back her deal is to bring in what in technical terms is the second reading of the withdrawal agreement bill. What that means, the significance of that is yes, but the significance about this is if she loses that, then she has no chance of getting this. She cannot get this legislation through in this session of Parliament. That means she needs another Queen's speech, and it's highly doubtful that Theresa May could assemble a majority for another Queen's speech.
What time frame is that we're talking about?
Well, the point is, when you lose second reading on this piece of legislation, that's it. Until there is a new session of Parliament, this withdrawal agreement bill cannot ever come back to Parliament. And but what that means is you have to have a new Queen's speech, and because the relations between Theresa May and the DUP have broken down, and because the number of Tory MPs who are opposed to a Brexit deal, it's very hard to see how...
Right, but that's the mechanism. But are we talking days, weeks, months?
I think on Thursday she will have to name a date. And I think the date will probably be for sometime in June. And I think if that fails again, then I think we really are... I mean, you said this so many times, but I think really at that point, I think she is out of options.
Right. Now, Katie, let's say that Theresa May does, as James suggests, and names a date in June, probably the last day.
For the second reading of the bill.
Yeah. Probably the last day in June, that's when she'd have her showdown. Now, between now and then, time exactly isn't going to stand still. I mean, this morning I received a letter from a reader, actually. I'll go read it now, I hope you won't mind me doing so. Dear sir, I would like Nigel Farage to sink the Tories. Yours faithfully, Julian Branson. Now, I love our readers. They always get straight to the point. I imagine he's referring to your cover story, James, recently saying, will Nigel Farage sink the Tories? Julian Branson from Tunbridge Wells here is saying that he would quite like that to happen. I have had so many other letters like that from readers, Conservative members, saying they've just had their fill. They don't want to tune into the soap opera one day longer. They're exhausted. They don't want her to kick the can further down the road. They want, and also, it's not as if they want the Tory party to rejuvenate. They want it defeated. I would like Nigel Farage to sink the Tories. A great many Tory members think that. Now, Katie, is that the concern? That this Olympic-grade can kicker might well kick the can to June, but by the time she does, she just simply won't get people back. They're sick of this.
Well, that is one of the big concerns. And I think there are two arguments in terms of the parliamentary Tory party. The parliamentary Tory party, many Tory voters are totally sick of. And on one side, there is this feeling. And I think it was really interesting when Nigel Farage was interviewed by Andrew Marr over the weekend, the number of Conservative MPs who tweeted to say what a great interview it was. And when you saw people saying, oh, Farage was awful, lots of Tory MPs replied saying, actually, I thought it was a brilliant interview. I mean, they were the Tory Brexiteers. But I think it does add to this sense that lots of Conservative MPs really do feel like the Brexit Party is currently stamping on territory it should be on. And they think with Theresa May in place, that is only going to get worse, and it's going to get, the damages are going to become more irreparable because it's going to be harder to get those voters back. The Brexit Party will own that narrative. On the other side, you have those Conservative MPs who don't want to go anywhere near a no-deal Brexit, and in a way just want to almost close their eyes and hope that over the next month something magic might happen, some deal will pass and that will calm everyone down and things will start to get back to normal. I think though, as the days go on, it's beginning to seem very hard to see how things are going to get back to normal as they might see it.
And James, let's also remember that if there is a candidate saying, OK, I'm going to go for a no-deal Brexit, you're saying Boris Johnson would do that, but also Jeremy Hunt would do that. Probably Sajid Javid, Matt Hancock, any number of people would. But if they do, they're going to really lose the Amber Rudds, the Rory Stewarts, as a whole wing of that party, who would be almost as angry if somebody does do that as the Brexiteers would be angry if somebody doesn't do that. So either way, does the party split?
Yeah, I think there is obviously a fundamental divide in the Tory party about this question. I think there is another question here, though, which is, I was very struck the other day when Rory Stewart said that it would be difficult to stay in the Conservative Party if the Conservative Party was actively campaigning for no-deal Brexit, which creates a kind of interesting distinction, I think, between a new leader who basically goes saying, can we have this change? And a new leader who goes saying, let's just leave with no deal.
Right, it's a rhetorical difference.
Though. No, I know. But I think that rhetorical difference will matter. And I think the big question is, because look, as per your correspondent there,
Mr. Branson from Tunbridge Wells.
This is the point, right? Mr. Branson from Tunbridge Wells might be disgusted, but he does have to think about what the alternative to the Tories is right now.
Mind you, and Farage's Brexit Party. No, he knows. He's quite happy with that.
That's not... I mean, realistically, I struggle to see how that wins the general election.
And I would just say on that, if you look at the Telegraph polling, what that projected, if you looked at the number of seats the Brexit Party would take, was in the overall result of that general election, you have a Labour minority Jeremy Corbyn
because
government.
The Brexit Party would get something like 45 seats under that projection. The thing is that people like Julian Branson from Tunbridge Wells have been told for quite some time, oh, you can't possibly vote for Farage because if you do, you're going to get Jeremy Corbyn, so please be a good boy and vote Conservatives. I think that for a lot of people, they've had enough. They are so sick of being blackmailed into supporting a fairly useless Tory government that they really couldn't, they're past caring about the consequences. And there are lots of people like him.
Yes, but what I would say to Rats is the Tory party might deserve its fate, but I'm not sure the country will.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. Now, we're going to be having an evening with Michael Gove on the 5th of June to discuss with him the future of the Conservative Party, or lack thereof. If you'd like to join us, you'd be very welcome. You can get tickets on spectator.co.uk/Gove. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Cindy Yu, who produced the podcast.